Geography. Free space for geography. Extending teaching and learning methods beyond the boundaries of campus.
Did you hear about Frontline?
Frontline,
by the way, has an outstanding production.
Geography Frontline.
Hey, Frontliners, how's it going? I know, it's been a busy week, and unfortunately, I didn't make it to produce episode 130 earlier. But that I'm not the only one having to work a lot these days is absolutely clear if you take a look at our feedback channels. Frontline on Facebook, email, voicemail, and even the quick vote. Not a single piece of feedback came in. Hey. Or maybe it's too hot and nobody felt like contributing to the show. What about our listeners in the Southern Hemisphere? Don't tell me it's hot right now, huh? Anyways, I'd like to drop last episode's topic, the Euro 2012 Championships, and yeah, congrats to Spain, by the way, and start a totally new topic. This week, we are going to talk about Amazon Local.
If you stick to Mother Nature's remedies and have a rosy outlook, your skin might actually feel like the silky petals of a flower. With today's deal, luxuriate your face with an hour-long hibiscus peel at Fru Fru Skincare for $60, a $150 value.
What the? Hey, I'm receiving these kind of emails lately, yeah. For the last week or so, every day I get such an amazing email about hibiscus peel or something like that. And yeah, these emails are part of a Amazon Local program. Have you heard about that, Frontliners? Yeah. So that sounds kind of interesting. So let's read from the Amazon Local conditions of use website. There they say Amazon Local is a local deals website through which you can buy vouchers or deals, and that's called vouchers, that are redeemable for goods and or services generally from local businesses in your area. Collectively, these are referred to as merchants. Amazon Local LLC is only a platform enabling you to purchase vouchers directly from merchants. So Amazon isn't directly making money with that? Can't be true, right? Okay, let's go on reading. Where was I? Yeah. It is not the seller or issuer of vouchers that merchants make available on the Amazon Local website. As issuer of the voucher, the merchant, and not Amazon, is fully responsible for the terms and conditions for each voucher and for any and all injuries, illnesses, damages, claims, liabilities, and costs suffered by or in respect of you or any other customer caused in whole or in part by the merchant or its products and services. You could speed up this a little, I think. The merchant is also responsible for complying with unclaimed property laws with respect to any unused vouchers. Some states, unclaimed property laws may allow you to recover some or all of the value associated with unused vouchers after a period of time. If you have any questions regarding this, please contact the merchant or your state's unclaimed property administrator and not Amazon. I see. So this is only a platform to provide local dealers with the opportunity to sell their goods online. But what about the business model for it? Why should I care about vouchers being purchased via my webshop if I was Amazon, right? If it's basically a deal between the merchant and the buyer. Attention? Could be attention, one might say. If hundreds of thousands, even millions of Amazon users would use Amazon Local, then they would stay in touch with the brand, right? They would check out the latest deals on the Amazon website. And Amazon is the place where you would buy everything, not only on the internet, but also in your hometown. But there actually is more. There are actually more aggregators like Amazon Local Online where people can find and redeem coupons. Like Groupon, nice name, huh? Forbes website analysis, Groupon's business model like this. Let's read from the Forbes website. Groupon prompts consumers of the world to get united, shop as groups rather than individuals, so they can gain deep discounts from local businesses. But there is a catch. And here it comes, frontliners. The discounts apply only if a certain number of customers sign up for the deal. As explained in Groupon's site, each day, Groupon emails its members one unbeatable offer on something great to do in your city. We offer consumers great values by guaranteeing businesses a minimum number of customers. If a certain number of people sign up, then everyone gets the Groupon offer. If that minimum isn't reached, then no one gets it. Okay, this way consumers transform to become sellers, right? As they are interested in getting more people attracted to the deal they want to get. That's really clever. And it makes a lot of sense for companies, for merchants, for them too, yeah. Because if you're thinking in terms like economies of scale, you realize that, of course, it's cheaper to produce a higher number of a certain product to get more profit out of it, right? Yeah. And as for Amazon Local, you don't have this kind of catch, one might think. Interestingly enough, Amazon didn't create this aggregation of coupons on its own, but partners up with a company called Livin' Social. Mm-hmm. And Livin' Social got its own business model. And how they make more profit of customers buying coupons on their, that's something we can read from their website. There it says, share with your friends. After you purchase something, you can tell all your friends, tweet, post to Facebook, woohoo, or send your unique link to friends in an email. Yeah, spam your friends. And if three people buy the deal with your link, your deal is free. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. And here we can find something we call economies of networking. Describe something like this. Economies of networking are the benefits associated with a larger and larger number of consumers buying a certain product. The larger the number of people using the product, the more valuable the product to each user. And what I would like to know from you, frontliners, is what you would think about this whole idea of local online shopping and coupons. And to let me know what you think, participate in this week's Quick Vote. So the theme for this episode's Quick Vote is the following. Online shopping, local products. What do you think, frontliners? Do you think that this is a great business model? Or do you think it's a marketing scam? You would have to vote for answer B. Or answer C, it's a useless invention. Or if you would have another opinion, you could vote for answer D. Yeah, go to our Facebook page on facebook.com/geography or check out this week's episode's website on geography.com and click to vote. Huh. And kind of funny situation right now, because the music server is currently down. So this song, I already played in episode 11, long time ago. This is Derek James, One More Day.
I woke up on the floor, just lying in her bed, dreaming about the taste of last night's conversation. We were flying high, there were rainbows in the sky, and the words that danced to us mind. I never felt this free, somebody comfortable with me. However I happen to be, left and said goodbye. Rather you smile than you cry. Take a picture with these eyes. She don't talk about it. We don't walk about it. We don't know about it at all. Together we're alone, two different worlds that we're on. Love across the seas, sand between my knees, and the warm ocean breeze over me. Oh, and she don't talk about it,
we
don't walk about it,
but they
don't know about it at all.
Song One More Day from the album Stray, and this song's provided from Mevio's Music Alley. Check it out at music.mevio.com. And the links to the album in both the US and the German iTunes store are, as always, in our show notes.
What's that sound?
This is the Sound Riddle coming up to kick off the second part of the show. If you're a long-time listener to Geography Frontline, you already know what I think about sounds in our environment, right? They are part of our day-to-day lives and, in my opinion, play a crucial part for our perception of the world. Just as visual elements could say all around us, sound is always there and sound has an impact on us. Most of the time, we don't spend too much attention to sound, which is not a good thing, if you're asking me, right? But because you can only talk about something you understand and know, we have to sensitize ourselves in terms of sonic elements in the urban environment, right? So that is why we have this section where I play you one sound snippet and you have to guess its source. Pretty simple, right? So what causes this kind of sound? That was the sound riddle for the last three episodes, and nobody had an idea or gave the right answer what caused it. So this is a metal gate closing on asphalt. It's actually the metal gate I have to open every morning to get out my car out of my garage. So, a pretty common urban sound, wouldn't you say? So let's see what we can do about this week's sound. If you get this one right, send me an email to comment@geogafree.com. Call the Skype voicemail, Skype name is Geogafree, to leave a message on our answering machine, or post your answer on our Facebook wall, and that would be facebook.com/geogafree. And the frontliner who sends in 5 correct answers first will win a Frontline t-shirt. Designs can be looked up in our shop at geogafree.com, and I'm still working on more shirts. So, frontliners, what causes such a sound? Yeah, that's actually a longer one this time. Want to hear it again? So, here it comes again. Just let me know what you think and collect 1 point for our shirt competition. Yes, there's no feedback this week. I just wanted to make a quick stop at our next section, Frontline on Facebook. The Facebook page is a wonderful opportunity to get in touch with other frontliners. You want to comment on something we talked about, but don't want to wait for your thoughts being published only in the next episode? Don't send me an email, but post something on facebook.com/geogafree. And you want to stay up to date? Have access to information like our show notes? Take a look at our Facebook page, and there you find it all. Besides the links to all topics we're talking about, we also have cover art and links to songs, to job proposals, and more. Just check it out and like it if you want to. Since fall 2011, we are reading from Alexander von Humboldt's Voyage to the Americas in 1799. His diary tells us a lot, not only about the countries he traveled to, but also about geography itself, the beauty of field trips and excursions, the importance of geographic knowledge and the skills to use this knowledge while being in the field. Alexander von Humboldt has crossed the Atlantic Ocean and is currently exploring some smaller islands in the Caribbean. So, let us continue our read to find out more fascinating things about doing fieldwork. On leaving the Indian suburb and ascending the river southward, we found a grove of cactus, a delightful spot shaded by tamarinds, Brasilettos, bombax, and other plants, remarkable for their leaves and flowers. The soil here is rich in pasturage, and dairy houses built with reeds are separated from each other by clumps of trees. The milk remains fresh when kept, not in the calabashes of very thick, ligneous fibers, but in porous earthen vessels from manicares. A prejudice prevalent in northern countries has long led me to believe that cows under the torrid zone did not yield rich milk, but my abode at Cumana, and especially an excursion through the vast plains of Calabozo, covered with grasses and herbaceous-sensitive plants, convinced me that the ruminating animals of Europe become perfectly habituated to the hottest climates, provided they find water and good nourishment. So, we have a rich description of the region here, right? Humboldt even draws an analogy to European animals, that is cows, and he discovers something new about the quality of these animals to adopt to other climates. Interesting. As the inhabitants of Cumana prefer the coolness of the sea breeze to the sight of vegetation, their favorite walk is the open shore. The Spaniards, who in general have no great predilection for trees or for the warbling of birds, have transported their tastes and their habits into the colonies, in Terra Firma, Mexico, and Peru. It is rare to see a native plant a tree merely with the view of producing shade. And if we accept the environs of the great capitals, walks bordered with trees are almost unknown in those countries. Huh. And this one is a nice description about cultural differences and exchange. If you take the older definition of the word culture, of course, that is kind of bound to a certain physical terrain and group of people, right? Yeah. I don't know about you, but I could go on reading this book for hours. But let's just take a break here and go on with the next section of the show. Okay, for most frontliners, China might be some miles away. Granted. But as we talked about the internet today and products and coupons, I thought this upcoming conference might be of interest for you. The third international conference on the Internet of Things, the IoT 2012, taking place October 24th to 26th in Wuxi, China. Wuxi. W-U-X-I. I think you would pronounce it like Wuxi. On the website, you can find the following passage. In what is called the Internet of Things, IoT, sensors and actuators embedded in physical objects, from containers to pacemakers, are linked through both wired and wireless networks to the internet. When objects in the IoT can sense the environment, interpret the data, and communicate with each other, they become tools for understanding complexity and for responding to events and irregularities swiftly. The IoT is therefore seen by many as the ultimate solution for getting fine-grained insights into business processes in the real world and in real time. Started one decade ago as a wild academic idea, this interlinking of the physical world and cyberspace foreshadows an exciting endeavor that is highly relevant to researchers, corporations, and individuals. Jeff Frontliners, and you can still register for a poster or demo presentation. So if you should be around in October, spend a visit to Wuxi and the third international conference on the Internet of Things. So this is it. Episode 130 of Geography Frontline has come to an end. I'm really curious about your answers regarding Amazon Local and this coupon system, right? And if you ever dreamt of getting 50% off Hibiscus Peel Skincare, please let me know, right? Have a great week, Frontliners, and say it with me now. The network is us.